study on, and it's nice with these cell phones we have, we can put in a title and a Bible app, and I put in memorials. And I went to see what the Bible had to say about memorials, and it took me to three different passages. So we're going to look briefly at three passages this morning, and don't worry, I figured it in with the report and all. I'm keeping that in mind, but we're going to look at what three different passages that deal with memorials in the Scripture and what the Bible has to say about that and what we can learn. Memorial Day is a special day, and it is a time for us that is honoring that in our nation we pause to give memory, memorial, and remembrance and tribute to those who fought and died and paid the ultimate sacrifice that we had the freedom to worship the Lord this morning. If you go to the monument, if you go to the mall in Washington, D.C., one of the things you're struck with there are the monuments on the mall. Some to our presidents, President Washington right smack in the middle, Jefferson, Lincoln, some of our presidents, but also to monuments to those who have fought in many of the conflicts of our nation's history, remembering and memorializing those who served our country in peace and in war, and those who gave their life. And of course, if you go to the Gettysburg battlefield, there when you drive to the battlefield, you see monument after monument after monument, of reminding us of the sacrifice of those that died there and gave their freedom and died so that we, our nation, could be preserved. But I want to begin in Joshua chapter 4. And in Joshua chapter 4, we read about after the nation of Israel had crossed over the banks of the Jordan River. And you may remember last week, Bishop Randy shared so beautifully about how the nation had come to the river and they were standing there and at flood stage trying to get across, and they couldn't get across, waiting to try to get in after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness to enter and take possession of what God had promised for them. But God said to Joshua, go forward and put your feet into the water and take the priests and have them march ahead of you at flood stage and go into the water. Now, how many of you would have followed Joshua into the swollen river? Anybody here? Any volunteers that would have trusted to go? Well, the priests went forward. They trusted God. And one of the things I talked about this week in our small group at conference is that sometimes we're not going to see God move in our churches or in our conference or in our life until we trust God by faith and step into the water. And when we do, God will act. So you know, we read from last week, as the bishop read, as soon as they put their feet into the water's backed up, they went through on dry ground, and they went through and praised God and went into the promised land. We pick up the story, what happened next, chapter 4, verse 1. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take the 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priest stood, from that very spot, and tell them to carry them over with you and put them down to the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men that he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan, and each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of tribes of the Israelites. And this sign is to serve, be a sign among you, that in the future when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it crossed the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were to be cut off, and these stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. It goes on to say, and Joshua did what they commanded them, and they took up the stones, and it said, at the time of this writing, they're still there to that day. And it was to be a memorial that when the nations, generations after them, would see those 12 stones piled up on the bank of the Jordan River, they say, what do these stones mean? It was to be a memorial for the succeeding generations of the faithfulness of God, and that our God responds when we trust him by faith. You may be facing a river ahead of you that seems uncrossable, that there's no way to get across that river that seems to be mounting against you. But our God is able to stop the flow and to make a way where there is no way. Amen? And he can provide a way to get across. And when you trust him and you obey and you step out in faith when he's asking you to do something that's challenging or difficult, and you step out in faith and trust him, he will respond. But he's waiting for us to take that step of faith. The waters didn't part. The flow didn't stop until the priest put their feet in the water. But when they did, it backed up. And God wanted the people to remember that, of his faithfulness, of how he provided and made a way when it seemed like there was no way. How he led them forth and removed the obstacles. And there may be obstacles between you and something great God wants to do in your life. And those obstacles seem insurmountable. But if we trust God, Jesus said, if we have faith as big as a mustard seed. You know how big a mustard seed is? It's pretty tiny. It's the smallest of all the seeds. And he said, we have faith that big, we can say to this mountain, be cast into the sea and it will be gone. That means he'll remove the obstacles. Proverbs 3 verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into our own understanding, our own ways, and all our ways acknowledge him. Remember the rest of it? He will make your path straight or remove, clear the path for us, remove the obstacles when we trust in him by faith. And then when he does that, he wants us to build a monument, a memorial, and put those stakes there and put those stones and build that monument in our life spiritually. That when we look back in those times when Satan likes to discourage us, when we're going through another challenge, when we're facing another obstacle before us, and he wants to challenge us or he wants to discourage us, we can have that monument and say, if God parted the way in the past when I trusted him, you think he'll do it for us again? If God made the way when there seemed to be no way in the past, you think he's able to do it for us again in the future? If God initiates a greater blessing when we trust him, you think he'll be able to do it again? Our God hasn't changed, has he? He's the same yesterday and today and forever. And so those monuments help us remember the faithfulness of God. That when we trusted him in the past, he responded. We can believe that when we trust him in the future, in the present, he's going to respond too, right? And so that first monument reminds us of that. The faithfulness of crossing the Jordan River, and God provided that way. And the generations to follow, to remind them, when they stepped out in faith, and they God responded and took action. And we can be thankful for that, and he will do the same for us. Turn with me briefly to the next one, 1 Samuel chapter 7. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 5. Again, the nation of Israel is engaged in battle this time against the Philistines. And the Philistines were Israel's main enemies that they, once they took possession of the land, the Philistines were the main people that were fighting against for years. David was always fighting against the Philistines and King Saul. Saul was now the first king. Well, it's not even that point yet. Samuel, the last of the judges, is leading them. And even when Samuel's time, they were fighting the Philistines during the times of the judges as well. But Samuel gathered the nations together at a place called Mizpah. And the Philistines were subduing them there. And we pick up in verse 5 of chapter 7 of 1 Samuel, if everybody's there. It says, Samuel said, assemble all Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede for the Lord from you. And when they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it upon the Lord, out before the Lord. And on that day they fasted, and there they confessed, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel was the leader of Israel at Mizpah. When the Philistines heard that Israel was assembled at Mizpah, the ruler of the Philistines came up to attack them. And when the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. But they said to Samuel, do not stop crying out to the Lord God for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines. Then Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it up before the whole burnt offering to the Lord. And he cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such panic that they were routed before the Israelites. And the men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them all the way to a point below Beth-Kar. Verse 12, then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and he named it Ebenezer, saying, thus far has the Lord helped us. And so the Israelites were subdued and did not invade Israelites' territory again. What happened in this battle was they were being attacked. They cried out to the Lord for help. And the Lord brought them help and deliverance. And they routed the enemy. Samuel, what did he do? Built a monument, put a stone there and a monument and called it Ebenezer, meaning stone of help. To remind Israel in the past, when they would see that stone set up, that monument, that memorial, to remind them that God helped them in their time of need. Are you thankful that we have a God that can help us in our time of need? And when we cry out to him for deliverance and for help, he will help us and he will respond. And when he does, build that monument, spiritual monument in your life to look back on it, because again, Satan loves to make us doubt, doesn't he? And we're going through those hard times of testing, and he likes to make us doubt and think God's forsaken us. But when we have that Ebenezer there, we have that reminder, that monument to look back. God helped, so far God helped me. This point, God has been there helping me in my life. Why do I doubt that he will help me in the future? And it's a reminder of the faithfulness and the goodness of God to help us in our time of need and our bring us deliverance. It was called Ebenezer, a monument to God's help and God's provision. So we have the monument built by the river to remind of how God responds when we step out in faith, how he will provide a way when it seems, and remove those obstacles if we but trust him and believe and act on that. We have the monument at Ebenezer reminding us that God will provide, God will be our helper, our God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. But there's one third monument, and the greatest of all. And Thelma, and the leading of the Holy Spirit, because Thelma didn't know I was doing this, gave tribute to that monument and the hymn that she played, Statue of Liberty. Because that is the greatest monument of all. Let's go to John chapter 19. In John chapter 19, beginning at verse 16. Now wait till everybody gets there. Turning along with me, I like to hear those pages turning. John 19, verse 16, as John is recording the account of the gospel and here getting to the death of Jesus. He said, so the soldiers took charge of Jesus, and carrying his own cross, he went to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. And here they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side with Jesus in the middle. And Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross, and it read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And drop down to verse 28. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, he said, I am thirsty. And a jar of wine vinegar was there, so they took a sponge on a stalk of hyssop plant and lifted it up to Jesus' lips. But when he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The greatest monument of all was the monument that stands on Golgotha, on that hill of Calvary, where there Jesus gave his life for us, a reminder and a monument for those who died for our freedom. The one who died for our ultimate freedom of deliverance from our sin. The sin that had held us captive and enslaved, that Jesus took that payment on himself and that punishment so that we could be set free. And the cross stands as an everlasting reminder, memorial, that through his death, we have been set free. Amen. The greatest memorial of all. It is ours, truly our Statue of Liberty, where it was finished, where the work was accomplished, where the victory was won, where the price was paid, where our freedom was provided for us. Greater love has no one than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus did for us. A monument to those who died so that we could be free, ultimately Jesus. But on this Memorial Day, we broaden that a little bit. And as you go to the mall and you see the Vietnam War wall, and on the wall, if you're walking down, I'm always moved, and I see that it starts small, but then it gets bigger. And then every one of those are names of people that died during that conflict so that we could have freedom. Or World War II, if you've ever seen the World War II Memorial, or the Korean War, and all those reminding us of those who died so that we could be here this morning in freedom to worship our Lord and to love Him. And then out in western Pennsylvania, if you've ever been to Flight 93, and the memorial there to those brave individuals who on that day said, let's roll, and took action and saved the lives of so many others when they gave their own. But that's what Jesus did for us when He saved us by giving His own, the greatest monument of all, the monument and the memorial, the cross, that is empty because the work is completed. Praise God, Jesus isn't there anymore. It's completed. It's done once and for all so that we can be set free. The monument to God's power to act when we trust Him in faith and to do the impossible and to remove those obstacles. The monument of God's stone of help, that He's there as our helper and deliverer in time of need. And the monument of the cross, the memorial of the cross, that He died so that we could be set free. On this Memorial Day, we give honor to those to whom honor is due. And we remember those and the memorials that have been made for us. Greater love has no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Remember those who sacrificed. And as we build their memorials in our life, and I encourage you to build those memorials like in the scripture of God's faithfulness to you, that when Satan comes to put the discouragement in, those monuments are there to remind us of our good God and of His faithfulness to us in the past, in the present, and in the days to come. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You are faithful, that You are just, that You are true. And we thank You, Lord, that when we respond in faith and we step into the water, even at flood stage, even when it seems like things are impossible and there's no way across, there's no way to get past the obstacle that seems in front of us that is so challenging, but yet we trust You and we step into the water by faith, You will respond to our faithfulness, our faith, and You will respond and act in ways that we never could have dreamed. That's the kind of God You are. And when You do that, Lord, we need to build a monument to that when Satan causes us to doubt, when we face another obstacle, whether You can do it again. Lord, you are faithful and You don't change, and You can. And that monument reminds us that if You are faithful in the past, You will be present and faithful to us in the future and the days ahead. We also thank You for those times that You have been our God of help, our deliverer in time of need when we cried out to You. And You were there, and You so far has the Lord helped us, and You always will, because You never will forsake us. You will never leave us. And so, Father, we thank You for that. And we thank You for the cross, the greatest monument of all, reminding us of You who died for our freedom, that we could truly be set free from the sin that enslaved us and had a death sentence over us. And You have released us from that and given us life, that because You died, we can live. We thank You for those, Lord, who died to give us our freedom as a nation. And we remember them as well on this Memorial Day. So, Lord, in all these things, we thank You. We thank You that You are faithful, O God, our help, in ages past, and our hope in the years to come. We trust You. We rely on You. We praise You. And to You alone be the glory, honor, and praise through Christ our Lord, in whom we pray. Amen.